Thank you very much. I have a wonderful husband. He's always humbling me, but, you know, a lot of times we think we know everything, and most of the time he knows more than I do. I know he does. But this morning, I want to share with you a thought about, originally, the Good, Good Father. And we've heard these songs are fantastic. You know, and I want to share a video with you, but before I do, I want to kind of recap what we've been going through the last few weeks. We looked at Pentecost and how Jesus had prepared his disciples for the Comforter to come, and that that Comforter would be Holy Spirit, and that we would have Christ in us. That was the result of that Spirit. And then we had a Pentecost duty to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And then we have a Pentecost password to walk in love. And that Spirit does not work unless you walk in love. It doesn't profit anything. So I'm going to share on how we walk as sons and daughters of God. But I want to share a love letter from our Heavenly Father, a video here, and then we'll get into the next phase of our Pentecost experience. So. Father does say it best.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad. Almighty God.
Wow. You know, every one of those sayings had a scripture with it. It wasn't just our opinion, but God has revealed himself in his word, and that's where we have to go. And I ask you, will you be his child and enjoy the wonderful fellowship that he's prepared for each one of us? I know we all are born again of his spirit. We are his children by birth. But do you want to walk with him? You know, a lot of people don't even know that he is that loving father, that he wants to lavish us with his love. He wants to bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, he wants to bless us, but exceeding abundantly above all. I am always amazed at that. But as his child, we have a choice. How many of you got to choose your parents? That wasn't possible, was it? But God has made it available that we choose him. It's not automatic. We have freedom of will. God Almighty can be our Father. We can live an miraculous life. We can live a life in all abundance if we choose him. And how do we choose him? Through his Son. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. His Son is the representation of the Father. No man has ever seen God, but the Father represents him. So I thought, especially being Father's Day, that to be a father, you have to have a child. So I think what I really want to share is we are his beloved children. How do we walk as his beloved children? So that's pretty much the slant I'm going with today. I want to compare our lives with Jesus as a son of the Father. So let's start off with Luke chapter 2. Verse 49, let's start. 46, we'll start. Actually, we're going to start at verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40, it says, this time about Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, is not in the text, filled with wisdom and grace of God, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So most of you remember this story about this Jesus going up to them going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And let's look at. And so they did their duty and the parents left, but Jesus wasn't with them. And so let's start in. So they came back looking for him, and verse 48 says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? And they found him in the temple. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, know ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And there's another other translations say, "Must ye know that I must be about my father's house." And the house represented the scriptures, the temple. And so he says, at 12 years old, he says, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business? I must be about the temple, the house of God." And it says, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and was subject, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men." Jesus at 12 years old knew that he had a purpose. And do you know how he knew that? Because he read the scriptures. And from Genesis 3:15, it said where my seed will bruise his head, Satan will bruise his feet. Talking about Jesus Christ redeeming mankind, and Jesus would destroy the devil, and we would have that reconciliation back to the Father. So the scriptures foretold of him from the very beginning, from the fall to the very beginning and through the end. And to understand who he was, he had to go to the scriptures. They were only in the temple. You did not have them on an iPad. You did not have them in a book. And in the temple, the scribes and Pharisees were supposed to be learning the scriptures. But they were amazed at him because he knew these. And in the culture of the times, a son followed his father's, the work of the father. He worked in the father's business. So in their minds, Jesus was the carpenter's son. So he should be sawing wood and doing nails. The only nails he had were on him for us, for our redemption. So the truth was he must be about his father's business. And you know why the Jews sought after him to kill him? Because they did not like him saying that God was his father. Yet, throughout the whole scriptures, it spoke of that. Their minds were blinded from the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. So we have to spend, okay, as we compare our lives to Jesus, we want to know for a surety that we are sons of the Most High God. We are the Heavenly Father's children. He chose us. So how do we know that? We put our heads in the scriptures, right? And it's so easily available today. It's just amazing. One thing, as a child, first of all, if we want to be obedient to our Father, we have to find out what his will is, right? So we know that in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth." You know, our Heavenly Father is not a percentage person. You know, it'd be great if 50% of the world was saved. He is into 100%. He wants every man, woman, and child to hear the gospel, to accept his Son as their Lord, and to have eternal life, so that we can have a huge party in heaven and be with the Father for all eternity. This time on earth here is very temporal, very, very small in comparison to what eternity is all about. So why not find out what eternity is going to be like? Being a child of the Heavenly Father, our lives are going to be fantastic. And it does say that, you know, it says that Jesus was exalted. It says that his name is above every name. He did the will of the Father, and he receives that honor and glory. Well, when we do the will of the Father, do you know what we get? We actually get rewards. And sometime this year, we're going to get into that. The rewards that we earn for being faithful to the Father's will. And He just never stops blessing us, taking care of us. Another thing that we need to know is our Father's approval. Do you know that God has approved you, that he thinks wonderful of you, each one of you? Well, the adversary wants us to think no, because we aren't perfect. Do you have to be perfect to be loved? No. And God, you know the reason why our Heavenly Father can love us perfectly? Because this is who he sees. He sees Christ in each one of us. And when we look in the mirror, who do we see? Christ in us. So he doesn't see Jeannie, who is struggling here and there and trying to do her very best, but sometimes puts her foot in it. He sees that wonderful daughter that is so loved and so sought after. He sees each one of us like that. And we have to get to the point where we know the scriptures so convinced that that's the truth, that we can only believe that. You know, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but stood faithful on it. Even when he was supposed to be the father of many nations, and he was not a father, couldn't conceive, but God made a way. If he said it, it's going to happen. And let's look at Matthew chapter 3. I want to show you where God actually, our Heavenly Father, showed Jesus who he was, that he, what he thought of him. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, it says, I guess I need to go to Matthew. Okay, Matthew 3:15 says, and Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, or allow it to be so. For this is what John had said. Let's start in 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John the Baptist of him, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said, suffer, permit it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him, or suffered him. John said, I can't baptize you. You're greater than me. And Jesus said, it has to be fulfilled. Well, a high priest had to be cleansed. And it starts in Exodus where it talks about that. That was the consecration of the high priest. So he had to be, as part of fulfilling the law, that he had to be baptized. And Jesus went up, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He received the Spirit. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine that? Here he is, all wet, and all of a sudden, this is my beloved Son, here, in whom I am well pleased. God wants to talk to us as well. We are his beloved children as well. Isn't that fantastic? And you know, in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, it said, again, the voice said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Well, you know, we are his beloved children because it's Christ in us. Because he has great favor for us. One of the things that growing up, I longed to receive the favor of my father, to be approved by him. I had three brothers before me. George was the third brother. And all of them were athletes. And I was not. In fact, I was stayed away from it because I saw how competitive they were. And so my dad loved sports. So if you were an athlete, you were right by him. You were his favored. And so I had to figure out, how can I get my dad's approval? So I thought, and my dad was an accountant. Well, guess what I became? I became an accountant. But you know what? I thought at one point that my dad and I would have this company, Evans & Evans, an accounting firm. But God had other plans. And when I was 19 years old, I asked my dad, how do you know you're doing God's will? And he said, you find out when you die. And I said, well, I'm not waiting. At 19 years old, I'm not waiting. So I asked God, because I knew who God was. I didn't know really who Jesus was. But I knew Mary, Joseph, and everybody else. So I asked him how. So when he said, you don't know till you die, I asked the Father, show me the truth. And within 6 months, I was in a Bible fellowship. And I met my husband-to-be, and the whole Evans and Evans went down the drain, and I got married, and and I pursued the will of my Heavenly Father. And it was hard on my father. But you know what? By the time he started to see the truth and he saw the love, and his life changed. So we all seek approval, but God has approved you. You have stamped with Christ in you, so you have the golden seal of approval. You can't get any better than that. And we have an intimate relationship with him. In John 17:3, let's look at that. But isn't it just amazing that our Heavenly Father would choose a relationship like he has with us, that we are his children? We could have been his robots. He could have been his favorite dog or whatever. He chose us to be in his image, to have that spirit, to have everything that he has, so that we could have all eternity to enjoy. And that we could have Jesus Christ as our big brother. Isn't that amazing? It says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So when we read the scriptures, and if you take some time to really get into the Gospels and see the relationship that he had with his Father, I wish I could read it all to you today, but we won't. So we have other things to do too. We've got a party going on after this. And but John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they may know is the word gnosko, Greek word gnosko, which means to have an intimate relationship. He wants an intimate relationship with us. And the most intimate is as seed. And Christ in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. God lives in Christ and Christ in us. It's pretty amazing. So then if we really walk in that Christ in us, we see that we are heroes. The world is looking for heroes. We are the heroes of faith that walk as super Christ, super saviors. And the world needs saviors today. They need those heroes that will stand up and say, God Almighty loves you, and he is not going to tolerate all this stuff. You know, we have so much contention in this United States. Why? Because people want to be selfish, and they don't want to love one another, and God has commanded us to love one another, even as I have loved you. He says we want to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love each other as ourselves. If you don't love yourself, it's pretty hard to love someone else. But accept the Father's love. He's put it all into you and helped you to become that successful child. We can call him Abba, that wonderful song that Sal did. Abba. Abba means Father, dear Father. We can call him Father, not Sir, but Father. Intimacy of it. And we can come before his throne of grace and jump in his lap and say, Daddy, just help me. There's things going on. And he's provided that. Jesus always went out to prayer. In the morning he went up, rose and went into a solitary place and prayed. Spent a lot of time in prayer. You know, after he received the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was instructed of the Father on what to expect in his life. And then, of course, you know what happened after that. He was tempted. He was hungry. So the adversary knew this is where I could get him. He's hungry. He's human. He's hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. So he tempted him. And what did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you don't know anything more than that, that we cannot live by bread alone, but we can live by the bread of God's word. Jesus was the bread of life. We need that word. And we need to say it is written. And you know, and when we pray, God wants, he wants us to pray, but he also wants us to listen. When we need to spend time in prayer and enough time that we can hear his voice. Because when I call my kids and if I say, "Hi, James, how you doing? How's that house going?" Click. I don't let him respond. Like, what kind of a conversation is that? It's not. So don't cut your father off. Allow him, because he's got something. I journal and I write down my prayers, and then sometimes I go, "Hey, I've been talking too long. let me listen to you." Because we need his wisdom. A father gives wisdom. And he certainly has all the wisdom. We just need to ask. One of the things that kind of discourages us or distracts us from appreciating all that the Father has are distractions in this world, from our cell phones to all these things that we never can really have that peace. And Jesus said that my peace I give you, not as the world giveth. I bequeath that peace, my peace, his actual peace, the peace that he had, and he had perfect peace. He bequeathed it. He wills that to us. It's ours. You know, everyone wants, after someone passed, they want to see that will. Well, that will of our big brother was, give him my peace. And that peace means we don't have to have fear, do we? Because we always have that connection. You know, don't pray, "Father, wherever you are, answer me." He's right here. So he's going, he's in the, whatever you're going through, he's with you, holding you up, protecting you. So we have to watch that, those distractions. Sometimes we let ministry work distract us. We think, "Oh, I got to make that phone call." And yet, did I accept that, my appointment with my father, talking to him and preparing my day so that I can be ready for challenges that come up. Now, there's a great story. This is kind of cute. With Father's Day, I'm going to tell you a story about two women. But, you know, you can't have a father without a woman. So this is appropriate. But Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus. And they loved the Lord. And he came and went to teach in their home. And Mary just loved hearing. And Martha probably sat there for a while, and then she thought, "Oh my gosh, as soon as they're done, they're going to be hungry. These guys are really going to be hungry. So I better go get in the kitchen and start cooking. And it's going to be a lot because there's a lot of people here, so I better recruit my sister. Tell the Lord she needs to come too." And, of course, that didn't work. But one thing that she forgot about, all those miraculous feedings of the multitudes. You know, every time Jesus taught, people got hungry. He was always providing food for them. And if it was five fishes and four loaves of five fishes, I don't know, I don't remember the numbers right now. But twice he did that. And now here's a small group in a house that can't be 5,000 or more. They're going to feed. Don't you think the Lord could have figured something out? And God the Father fed the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. So one little dinner couldn't be that difficult. But Martha got distracted. Instead of sitting and really appreciating the word and thinking, that's going to be taken care of, she got out of bounds and missed out on the whole point. And the cares of this world are another thing that start to pull us down. But what is, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Because Jesus didn't have any cares, did he? They said, well, he said, "My meat is to do the will of the Father." Because they said, "Oh, he's eaten?" You know, his purpose was to do the will of the Father. And yet, food always seems to be, and food's an important part. It's an important part of fellowship. On Wednesday nights and Mondays, normally we have a meal together. And part of that isn't so I can show them how good a cook I am. the whole point of it is so that we can spend time fellowshipping. And if it's a piece of bread and a glass of water, then it's okay because we're together and we're enjoying the fellowship of the family. And then certain things can come up and you can encourage each other. Let's look at let's look at 4, because here's Jesus. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's one of those crowns. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you think Jesus was humble? Said he humbled himself in obedience to the cross. He didn't have to, but he saw our lives. He knew that we would be coming. He prayed for us. You know, as intercessors, speaking in tongues is the perfect way to pray. We make intercession. We pray perfectly. And we can pray 24/7. We can pray whenever we want to. But he prayed for us in John 17, for those that were to come. And we need to pray for the generations to come. If they come, if the Lord doesn't tarry. But I'm praying that he'll come soon enough. But we can still pray. We pray for our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children and all of that. So we need to cast our care. When we cast, because it says, we put God first. We seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And that's what Jesus did. He only did the will of the Father. He only spoke the will of the Father. When he needed answers, sometimes he just paused. But we do the same, because the Father's always there, because he wants us to bring others to the family. And we are truly loved. Don't ever doubt that. Continue to see how big his love is. So do not allow distracting thoughts to derail you from the biggest responsibility you have been called to, your Pentecost duty to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you. Don't ever forget that. Did Christ ever have a need? No, because the Father was always taking care of it. And use your Pentecost password. Use that love. Love people. When we go to Old Town, we just love them. And you see these smiles come off of them. So it's a life that the Father has chosen. He wants to so take care of us, to love us, to call us his beloved children. He wants us to accept that relationship and to live our life as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. So I want to close with a wonderful song. It's called Daddy's Arms. Do we have that one? Okay. So I want you to remember that throne of grace is always available to jump into the Daddy's arms and just to receive his strength and encouragement. So, yeah, let me pray, and then we'll play that song. And then Alta has a wonderful feast for us. So please stay and enjoy the fellowship. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for the amazing life that you have chosen for each one of us, and that we accept your call to be your children. We thank you for all that our big brother, Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us, that we can use his name and see signs, miracles, and wonders come to pass, that we can do the works that he did and greater works by leading someone into the new birth so that the family can just get bigger and bigger. I thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters here this day, that I just cast those cares that any that are on their hearts, that they realize how valuable and how loved they are, and that your word just becomes clearer and clearer in our minds and hearts to walk out as sons of God with all power, that we just have so much to be thankful for, and we thank you for this life and for your son's return and for loving us in spite of ourselves. So we thank you that we are just your beloved children in whom you are well pleased, and we accept it. In the name of Jesus Christ.